have you heard of the Sanctum Games? No? Then this is a treat for you. Listen to Armin from Coffee Stain Studios on today's episode of Hacker Public Radio. In 2010, a few students from the University of Skövde created the indie game developing company Coffee Stain Studios. In 2011, they released the game Sanctum on Steam, and in May of 2013, they released Sanctum 2. These games are most often described as a mix between first-person shooter and tower defense. You find yourself in a futuristic setting fighting aliens with a fair bit of humor. The player chooses how much resources to distribute on automatic towers or his or her own weapons. Both games featured the possibility to collaborate with your friends to beat the levels. One of the founders, Armin Ibrisagic, was at DreamHack in November 2013, where I got a chance to talk to him. What is DreamHack, you ask? Well, it's only the world's largest computer festival, held multiple times a year in Jönköping, Sweden. According to Wikipedia, it holds the world record, as recognized by the Guinness Book of Records and Twin Galaxies, for the world's largest LAN party and computer festival, and has held the record for the world's fastest internet connection and the record in most generated traffic. And I also got an interview with one of the organizers of DreamHack, but that you will hear another day. Today, we focus on Sanctum and how the market looks for smaller game developers. Over to DreamHack Winter 2013, where I've just caught Armin coming from one of his speaking engagements.
My name is Armin Ibrisagic. I work as a game designer and PR manager at Coffee Stain Studios. And I just talked a little about the game industry.
And what are you best known for in the game industry?
Me or Coffee Stain Studios? Well, we're both best known for the Sanctum games, of course. If you don't have Sanctum on Steam, you should definitely buy it.
Yeah, and I concur. It's two great games, absolutely. So how long have they been in development? When did the Sanctum Saga start?
The Sanctum Saga started when we graduated college. We had just studied game development, and we figured we wanted to make a game. So we figured that we played a lot of different tower defense games, but we felt that you kind of only have fun half of the game. So we thought that if we give the player a gun, throw the player inside all the action and let him shoot stuff, that's where it started. It took us 9 months to finish Sanctum 1, and our lives changed forever.
Usually when you create something that you think is new, people pop up from the woodworks and say, well, that's been done, actually. Have you experienced that?
No, we were very lucky to be the first FPS tower defense hybrid game in history, and that's probably why we managed to do so well on Steam.
How well have you done?
Sanctum 1 has sold over 700,000 copies, so it's been really great for us. And we recently released Sanctum 2 this summer, and it's been doing about twice as good. So it's great for us.
And in Sanctum 2, what was there to improve on, actually?
Well, when we released Sanctum 1, it sold really well, but we still kind of felt bad because the game only had like 3 levels. It had like 2 or 3 different weapons. It was really small. So we patched up Sanctum 1 a long time. We listened to player feedback. And then when we sat down and designed Sanctum 2, we rebuilt the game entirely from scratch, but we added all the things that players have asked for in Sanctum 1 that our old game could never support, like multiple different classes. We had 4-player co-op on day 1. We had to patch in 4-player co-op in Sanctum 1, and it was pretty buggy even then. So there was a lot of new stuff, and of course, new guns, new towers, new everything.
What's the technology behind it? What do you use?
We use the Unreal Engine. We're really lucky that we have very good relations with Epic. They've been helping us so much, and we're really thankful. So it's really helped. The Unreal Engine has helped us so much in making making the game look good.
What's the next step?
Right now we're actually in the most exciting process that we've ever been in. We're basically sitting at the office and making up new stuff. We're making up new games where everyone has a chance to pitch their own game to the studio, and at the end we're going to vote for the game that we want to develop the most. And it's going to be a totally different IP, new everything. It's not going to be Sanctum at all.
Will there ever be a Sanctum 3?
I don't know. Maybe. We'll see.
When there's something new to give to the IP.
Yeah, definitely. Right now we feel we're really satisfied with Sanctum 2. If there's a Sanctum 3, then maybe after a game or two. Because right now we've worked with the Sanctum franchise for like 4 years. So we're really looking forward to making something new.
What kind of involvement do you have with your fans? How do you interact with the people playing your games?
It's actually a pretty interesting story. When we released Sanctum 2, we had a lot of players that were disappointed with some of the changes we made, and it was a little bit of a sidestep for us. We felt that, and we listened to them, and we were like, "Yeah, well, maybe you're right." So we did a patch after 2 days where we changed almost everything that players were complaining. Because we have no marketing budget. We're not a AAA studio, so we rely completely on our fans to spread the word about our game. And that means that we have to be best friends with our fans. So that's something we strive for all the time.
You created for Sanctum 1, I believe, a special game mode with the Yogscast?
Yeah, we did. Yogscast has actually helped us so much as well. They did it like a Let's Play video of Sanctum 1, and it got like 2 million views or something. It's totally ridiculous. They paid our salary for months, so we felt that, of course, we have to give them a Jaffa Cakes DLC.
And that's where I found out about the game, so I'm grateful to them as well, of course. But I've had a bit of bad luck with running this on my operating system since I run Linux. What can you do about that?
We're actually working on a Linux port. I don't know if I'm supposed to say that, because like if something would go wrong, then I don't want to like promise people that it's going to be a Linux support. But we're working on it right now, mainly because of the Humble Bundle. If it wasn't for the Humble Bundle, we probably wouldn't have worked at Linux. So you have the Humble Bundle to thank for that.
And it's interesting, you're really mentioning the things that makes a great difference for indie developers. How do you view the new game consoles, which also have something of an idea that it would be easier for indie developers to release games, both the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One?
I think that is awesome. I've heard from Microsoft that the Xbox One is actually going to be, you can turn it into a development kit at home. So you can actually develop games at the Xbox One if you own an Xbox One, which is really great, because right now if you want to develop games for Xbox, you need to order special Xboxes from Microsoft. So I think that it's really great that they're focusing on indie developers, and I hope that we'll sometime work for porting our games to the new consoles as well. Right now we're only looking at PC, but it's definitely possible.
Are you looking at any other consoles, handhelds perhaps?
I myself personally am really looking forward to Valve's Steambox. It looks really great. But other than that, no, we're not. It would be awesome to have Sanctum 2 on like Nintendo DS or something. But I know that's never going to happen.
What's the idea for the future of Sanctum 1? Now that you released number 2, are you just going to let that sit and rot on the shelf, or do you have plans for the older game?
That totally depends on what our players want. If there's demand for new stuff for Sanctum 1, then absolutely. But so far, most players have transferred from Sanctum 1 to Sanctum 2. So right now we're looking at more Sanctum 2 support.
Alright, so let's round this interview up. And if you have something you want to plug, if you have an URL that you want to send the listeners to, or perhaps something you would like to share with them at the end of this interview, what would that be?
Well, if you haven't played Sanctum, you should really just Google Sanctum. Well, no, don't Google. Google Sanctum game, because if you Google Sanctum, you get to some really bad David Cameron movie. It's terrible. And they released, like, at the same time as us. It's ridiculous. But if you want to follow me on Twitter, then that would be definitely awesome. Type in Armin Posts at Twitter, and you can read my good tweets. I got good tweets.
Wonderful. Thank you very much.
Thank you. It was awesome to be here.
And that's our Indie Developer Report for today. The globalization of the world through internet and social media really makes it possible for indie game studios, that is, independent from the larger companies, to create truly unique games. Armin mentioned Humble Bundle, an initiative to primarily offer DRM-free games for both Mac, Windows, and Linux, giving the buyer a choice of how the money should be spent. You pay what you want and give it to charity, the game developer, or the Humble Bundle organization. In the show notes, you will find all the references mentioned. Go and follow Armin on Twitter and perhaps tell him how much we would appreciate if they continued working on the Linux version of Sanctum 2. Just so that they hopefully do not abandon that line of thought. And watch the Yogscast's playthrough of the games, or perhaps go to Steam and buy them yourself. All the references you need will be in the show notes as usual. This is CT, signing off.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HPR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All Binrev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution, Share Alike, 3.0 license.